Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hey, Julia here. If you'd like to grow your agency with a new free traffic source, we've put together a free resource for you called the Agency Traffic Blueprint, which outlines how you can acquire free organic traffic for your agency's website using Powered by Marketing. You can get that at getrubyrobin.com/blueprint or check the description of this episode for the link.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into another episode of the Agency Toolkit. I'm your host, Julia McLaughlin. My guest today is Nico Biggie, who has been the owner of the Guerrilla Agency for 7 years, and his goal is to transform the way their clients approach marketing and help them to fall in love with their business all over again. So today we're going to be discussing Nico's journey of building his agency and what he's learned along the way. So thanks so much for joining us today, Nico.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. So let's dive into a couple questions so our listeners can get to know you a little bit. So what would you say really motivates or inspires you as an entrepreneur?
Yeah, you know, I actually think about this all the time. I'm just really inspired by people. I think I'm always on the hunt to be impressed. I think that's kind of my favorite word of the year, if you will. It's just, I really am genuinely looking to be impressed, to find doers, people who really take care of, you know, what they say they're going to do it, then perform it, then explain it. You know, I'm not necessarily always interested in the, you know, top level topics. For me, it's all about, you know, the details, getting into the specifics and really, you know, trying to kind of understand how things operate, because there's so many shiny objects. You know,
yeah.
There's so many places you can go, so many people asking you for money, that the things that really inspire me are those that can kind of take a step back and you can tell within, you know, a few minutes of talking with them that, you know, they're really on the ground floor. They're, you know, they understand what actually delivers and what actually is just kind of the fluffy, you know, talky talk stuff. So
Very cool.
Stuff really inspires me. And I'm always kind of hunting, you know, kind of for that, you know, viewpoint from different people.
Yeah, that's really cool. I love that. And then, so tell us how you originally got into digital marketing.
Yeah, so I would say, have kind of a unique story in that I came out of college, traditional route, U of O advertising degree. And, you know, I came out and I was 0-for-31 for job applications. I thought I'd work at Wieden & Kennedy, get an internship. Everything I thought, quite frankly, just never transpired.
Interesting.
So I ended up getting this like pretty much unpaid job at this small little company, I guess, that really wasn't doing much. Mm-hmm. Worked it up, brought some clients in, and I came back one day and my boss was like, I'm done. I quit. No paycheck at the end of the month. Sorry. And that was
Wow. Really
where it left us. And I think I had something like 26 days until all my bills were due and was like, all right, we're going to do this ourselves. I was 25 and
two years
out of college. So, buckled down, came in on a weekend, built my website, designed my logo, came up with my name, formed the LLC, all that kind of stuff. Just literally Google searching how to do the whole setup. And I was lucky enough that, you know, a few of the clients came with me. One of the staff members, Lauren, who's kind of my number two go-to, third most important woman in my life, you know, had a nice Jerry Maguire moment and she came with me, and that was 7 years ago this month. That's really how it came to be honest. Like there's no,
that's really interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. So cool. So your boss just kind of had like, you know, a mental breakdown or whatever, just had enough, close the doors.
Yeah. Maybe your crisis, 50 year, whatever it ended up being. It was just, you wanted to go do something different. And, it actually, to be honest, it was the greatest thing that ever happened to me.
Yeah.
I would never have thought of doing this myself, had the confidence to do it. And so that kind of you know, that aspect of it made me really just get out of my comfort zone and really go out there and be like, yeah, let's just figure it out. And we've taken that kind of mentality through the whole course of the business. Is just, you can learn anything. You can literally figure out anything. You just have the ability to learn, to kind of take that step back and always kind of say that you're not going to know everything. You're not going to be perfect at everything, but the best thing that you can do for yourself and for clients is work your ass off, you know,
yeah.
And just keep working until you figure it out. And, you know, I think that's really led us to where we are today is, you know, we just do whatever it takes to meet the goals that we set for people.
Yeah, I love that. So, you know, when you guys were starting out in the early days, so you had, you know, you got lucky, you had, you know, your first couple clients that stayed with you from the previous company. But what was it like bringing on new clientele in those early days? How did you bring in those leads?
Yeah. So at first, yeah, it was challenging. I mean, I think it was more challenging for myself because I had to kind of have that confidence as a 25-year-old to go in and talk to these, you know, business owners and be like, trust me, I know what I'm doing, you know, because you don't want to go in and portray that you don't. You know, so that part was really difficult, at least on my end. We are actually really lucky in that in 7 years, I've probably only advertised for a month.
Oh, wow.
You know, word of mouth was really strong. You know, we really care about the people that we work with. So we probably in a lot of cases might overdo it, you know, to get to where we want to be. You're taking jobs here and there, building sites, doing whatever. And it just kind of, it really did just snowball. And we've had clients for the whole 7 years, 5 years, 6 years, you know, that part's been great. We did some networking, things like that, but really word of mouth is pretty much how it all happened.
Interesting.
Yeah,
that's awesome. Yeah. It really, your work speaks for itself when you're able to get those referrals. It's like the highest form of flattery, I think.
Yeah. And you know, it's, we're willing to take on anything, you know, we don't kind of pigeonhole ourselves in an industry. To me, it's about the business, but it's more about the business owner, you know, the business owner who, as one myself, we all struggle and deal with so much of the same stuff that industry matters, but, you know, being able to help the business owner kind of take control of all these different areas that never get looked at, never get touched, bring in some new leads, help with the process, you know, really just, you know, elevate everything from what they're already doing. And you know, that's the most, you know, rewarding part of the business is just to watch these owners just completely have their lives change because they got some money freed up, they're hiring more people, they're investing more in the business. And they, you know, got the ability to kind of rely more on a steadier stream of leads than just kind of waiting around for the phone to call and hoping it does, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Okay. Interesting. So, you know, how do you guys really try to set yourselves apart from other agencies out there? How do you differentiate yourselves?
Yeah. You know, I feel like it is in a lot of different ways, mainly because, you know, out and talking to people, and I'm just a very much a purveyor of knowledge. So I'll just, you know, I'm always looking for whatever the next great best thing is. And if I find something, then I'll test it. And in most cases, I don't like it and I stop doing it. But, you know, I would say that we differentiate ourselves in a lot of ways in terms of what it is that we're willing to take on and our relationship with our clients. I don't want to be a lead company, a website company. I'm not trying to be an invoice, quite frankly. I keep our team really small. I give people my cell phone number. We're very personal, and I would liken it more towards we want to be a marketing department for the clients that we work with, and especially for small business owners. So what that really looks like and what it means is that, you know, leads might be one little piece of the pie, and that's great. But what I've tried to do, especially over the last year, is, you know, take a step back and think, what is it that really makes an impact in people's lives? What is it that really helps the most? What are all those, I kind of use the iceberg effect, right? What's everything that's below the surface that nobody sees that we can do for people that, you know, no one pats you on the back, but it just has to get done. It's the right way to go about it. And that's how we kind of came to be really in the last couple of years is, you know, we're going to take in your intake, your process. We're going to reevaluate the whole thing, your CRM. You know, we're going to make sure that the leads are ported in properly, that you have closing cross-sell programs, drip campaigns. You know, yeah, we'll look at the targeted, the leads and all that, but really we do it all through the lens of why. So I would say the thing that, you know, with all that said, the biggest thing is that we provide accountability. You know, I wear the stuff on my shoulders. I care about it. Every time I send an invoice out, you know, I care about people's money. I know how hard it is to get any money for a small business to do marketing, and we're not always the cheapest. But, you know, whenever I'm doing it, I want to make sure that I can not only prove an ROI for the client, but give them enough to where, you know, they can really start prepping and planning for their future. And so I'm digging into their financials. All day today I've been P&Ls and cog sheets, looking at ways to kind of adjust and help people save money and just really take on the role of like 3 or 4 employees and give people really what I would determine is true value. I think that's kind of people in our industry are looking at always is like, what is value? And to me, it's, you know, we're going to shoulder the load of all these different positions and, you know, really just take care of you from the very beginning and do all these things the perfect way that they should have been done and that they should be done, so that regardless if you work with us or not in the future, you have some tangible assets that you can really build your business on going into the future.
Oh, I love that. What is your ultimate goal with the agency? You know, you always hear about, you know, agency growth and scaling your agency. But the reality is not everyone wants that. You know, some business owners are very happy, you know, having, you know, a 5-man team or whatever size is, you know, makes you happy. What is your ultimate goal with the Gorilla Agency?
Yeah. You know, something just like everybody else, I think about it all the time. You know, in the truest sense, what I can tell you is that just to help as many small business owners as I can. I mean, I've been there, you know, I've worked with so many clients that have struggled and watched them transform and become completely different businesses and people. And really, you know, in the last few years, it's been really hard on a lot of people. And I know that, you know, I can kind of inject myself and my team into their business. And, you know, in 6 months, I could pretty much transform the whole thing and have it be profitable. And to me, that's the most rewarding thing. You know, I get benefits from it, obviously, as the business grows, but we purposely stay small. I don't want to be a big agency. I don't want to have interns and staff, all the staff and, you know, all these, you know, things that just jack the prices up, right? To me, it's more about personal relationship building and really, you know, being accountable to the things that we're saying. And we can't do that if we get too big. Moreover, you know, when you're in those big agencies and stuff, not that they're necessarily bad, but by nature, you're dealing with the telephone game. That's kind of how I liken it. It's, you know, the account manager's talking to the sales guy who's talking to the interns. And, you know, for the types of people I like to work with, it's, you know, no, we'll do that in the next day or two. Not let me talk to a friend or let me talk to this person and we'll put it in the pipeline. And then, you know, you're 3 weeks out and still waiting for things, you know.
Yeah.
We're very much a personalized service. And again, we treat ourselves more and want to be treated more as a staff versus a contractor, lead company or whatever. I really do want to be, you know, treated as someone who's a part of your team and, you know, work that way.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think that's awesome. And so what are some ways that you are, you know, nurturing the relationship with your clients? I had a guest on the other day and she talked about how she consciously sets, you know, like the first 5 minutes of every single meeting with her client aside just to get to know them and like talk about like personal. I'm really curious to know, you know, what types of things that you use to help nurture the relationships with your clients.
Yeah. I mean, it gets personal right at the beginning, to be honest with you, because, you know, especially nowadays I have to know everything. That's why we moved this direction, you know, as we grew, was that, you know, in order for me to be the most effective at what I do, I have to have all the puzzle pieces in front of me. I have to know everything that I'm dealing with. And part of that process is I just ask a ton of questions. It's one of my favorite things in the world is just 20 questions. Let me dive in. Let me just dig in organically and just off the top of my head and really get into the meat of everything. And that the nature of that discovery starts building this relationship and this rapport. And then as we're going through these campaigns, you know, we're talking so much. I mean, I'm setting homework, I call it, for my clients. So like, hey, this week I need you to do this. I'm working on this. I need you to do that. I'm working on this. And over time, you know, they see it and they feel it. Now they're doing a little bit more and it just slowly builds. And then obviously once they see the results and everything, that makes it all the much more better. But You know, my clients call me anytime they want. They can email me. You know, staff probably wouldn't like that as much because I sometimes make myself too available. But, you know, at the end of the day, I just believe that, you know, if you're paying for our service, I'm a part of your team. You deserve to be able to get a hold of me whenever you want. And so It's just by the nature of just being, you know, kind of hang my hat on the idea of we're open, honest, as transparent as you could possibly be about things. I'm willing to admit if I'm wrong. And then I'll double up my work to make sure I write it. And we really just take a keen focus on what we call the little things. You know, we don't skip over the details. We don't, you know, just do things just to do them. We really try to build a foundation up for these clients so that whether, again, you know, whether or not they work with us, they have something tangible and they're not just starting from scratch the next time they call someone. Because again, 90% of the people that call us came from a different company. And that's a lot. I want to, you know, stop that trend, you know, right there and provide some people some clarity on an industry that is very technical and, you know, a little complicated for most people. And again, back to the shiny objects, there's a million people looking to take your money every day. And at the very least I can do is just say, good idea, bad idea, good idea, bad idea.
Awesome. So if you had one growth tip that you could share with any up and coming agency owners, what would that be?
With an agency owner? Just being, you know, really masterful and skillful at some, at least a single thing. You know, I think that a lot of times people get into being an agency. I know I was trying to do this right at the beginning, and you see all these things on Instagram and the internet and blogs and the Neil Patels of the world, right? And it's like, all of a sudden you got to do SEO. You got to be in social media, which means now you got to learn four or five different socials. You know, you got to be in pay-per-click, display, web development, web building, you know, all these graphic design. It's just like, it's so
many intense things.
But I would say, in my opinion, if I would, you know, and in fact, I talk a lot. I'm on a school board. I talk to kids all the time. I tell them they can call me anytime. I'll tell them exactly what I would do if I restarted. And, you know, being skillful at one area in particular is a big one, but also, you know, looking at it through the lens of a customer. You know, we can push on all these things and get billables and all that kind of stuff, but what provides real value? What's money in the bank? You know, are you willing to put your business and your livelihood and your chips on yourself, which is what I'm all about, on your ideas and on your strategies with your clients? You know, if you're not willing, you know, whether you do this or not, but personally just thinking about it, like, put your whole relationship on the line, put your whole business. You know, for me, in a lot of cases, like, I just stopped even doing contracts. You know, I was just like, look, if you don't want to work with me, don't. And if I'm not getting you the results, I'll be the first to tell you to stop working with me. You know, but I'm so confident that I will figure it out and I will get these results that, to me, it's just more of that, you know, that constant battle of discovering and researching and testing and trying that, you know, if you have that one area that you know you're dialed in and that you can immediately get those results, that's what's going to keep the clients around for a long time. And they're more willing to listen to you when, you know, things don't go right. Because again, digitally speaking, you can't control everything. So you can do the best ads and the best placements with a healthy budget, and you could still wake up one month and have zero sales and you're still invoicing them for, you know, the cost of the campaign, and you got to justify your existence. So,
yes,
you know, if you're not great at a lot of things, it's better to be great at one thing because you can't be perfect at everything.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm curious. So do you guys do, you know, like monthly reporting with your clients?
Oh yeah. Yeah. In fact, we just did the big switch over to the G4 tags, you know, so the way we kind of do it is, you know, tag manager, G4 tags, I actually keep both in G3, G4 analytics, data studio reports. I also have, when I'm running PPC ads, I do call monitoring. So I like to just triple check everything. Mainly, you know, again, from our perspective, we're really focused on the ROI aspect of marketing. So the more I can track dollars in, dollars out, the better, also better for the client. But, you know, data is just kind of where you got to live, you know, in a lot of instances, because, you know, there's so much bad data. Let me tell you, I just went through like 2 months of doing a test run on some of these different services, chasing my own shiny objects. And, you know, you can get hit with a bunch of data that looks good at the top level, but when you dig into it, you know, at the end of the day, in my opinion, it's like, is there money in the bank? Did the client get a call, a form, and produce money? And if the answer is no, you know, then we need to think what we're doing, unless they're cool with some, you know, proverbial PR digital style campaign that costs a lot of money and not deliver a lot. So data is probably the single most justifier of your existence other than a P&L sheet.
Yeah, I agree. And so do you guys, you know, go through that report with your clients on a monthly basis, or is it something that you send to them? I'd love to know, you know, what really makes your clients happy when it comes to reporting on the work that you guys are doing with them?
Depends on the client, quite frankly.
So it's different for all of them.
Yeah, I mean, mainly because I got clients that are like, I don't know what this is. And so I'm like, happy to explain it. They're like, oh no, I know we're doing good. It's all good. I hear the phone ring. Others are, you know, absolutely interested. So I'll do a full walkthrough with them. It's really kind of that, you know, we have it. It's there. We'll send it to them. If they want me to explain it, I'll explain it. If they don't, it's all good. But really what we try to do is the data more so kind of displays the things that we're already talking to them about. So clients that are kind of in our bigger packages, I'll say is, you know, I mean, I'm talking to them multiple times a week. I'm talking to their team, their office managers. I'm checking their leads. I have every lead for every client ported through my email in a certain segment. So I already get a gauge of like how many they're getting, how often, how much that relates to month over month. So in most cases, if people need me to walk through data and they have questions about stuff, I'm probably not doing my job well enough, because I try to work so hard that they don't care about the data, because they know and feel and can see, you know, everything that's transpiring too. But, you know,
you keep that communication really dialed in throughout the whole working process.
Yeah. I mean, I think the thing that's tough with data that at least I find is that you can manipulate data to really paint a story of however you want. I mean, I think you know, a good example is you look at display advertising versus PPC. I mean, you can hit people with, you know, oh, look at all this traffic. It's going over here. It's doing all these things. And then, you know, if I dive in, you know, a few layers deep, I can poke holes in it. But are you going to show me that data? Is that going to get hidden? I think there's this natural aspect of those reports that, you know, a lot of times kind of are like filtered out a little bit. Mm-hmm. In fact, in a lot of instances, what we were doing is we were just setting up the analytic accounts in a Gmail for our client. We're like, this is yours, you know, keep it. This is your password. You can log in at any time. You can look at whatever. I'll explain it all to you. But that way they know that I'm never shielding them from anything either, right? So I'm not just exporting a report that's got the things that I want to say in it, you know, because I think there's that back of your head moment where you're like, ooh, yeah, we got a lot of traffic, but the average time on page was 2 seconds. Am I going to include that or not? And some people do and some people don't. And I just think there's that, you know, being as honest and transparent as we can with our clients. It's like, you know, no, we're just going to do the full thing and explain everything, the goods, the bads. And, you know, for the bads, we'll have a plan.
Yeah, absolutely. And that works wonders for building so much trust. You know, whenever you can just like share all of the information with them and just be really transparent, like you said, I think that's really smart, because they're just going to trust you, you know, to manage their marketing, you know, for a long time.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what we want. I mean, really, we want obviously control and we want to know everything, but that's more to keep things moving. As most people would know in this industry, you apply for something, it could take 2 weeks, 2 months, longer.
Yeah.
You know, so the more we're kind of integrated into their business, the easier it is for us to provide additional value in systems and everything else. So, you know, building that trust from the very beginning, I think, is just the most key, because, you know, they know if you really care or don't. I mean, business owners have been doing this a long time, and they've had a lot of phone calls and spent a lot of money with people. And they don't have time to be, you know, taken advantage of anymore. So, you know, we're very much at that forefront of just, we're an open book.
So I'm curious, what would you say has been the biggest overall challenge that you've had to overcome as you've been growing the Grill Agency?
Yeah, you know, there's a lot. I mean, personally, running a business, having a team, you know, my one of my biggest employee, I mean, she moved to Texas, so we were in office together, now working remote. That ended up actually being a great thing. There's just so many little nuances personally as a business owner, but I'd say from an industry perspective, it's constantly trying to be, you know, an expert at something to provide that true value, you know, and just constantly trying to find the answer for people in different industries that are different business owners. And because we're not really pigeonholed in one industry, we kind of celebrate that we've worked in almost every industry and try to apply our principles every single place as like a check. But, you know, I think the thing that I struggle with the most is always just kind of may or may not be second guessing a little bit, but just the what about this? Am I missing something? Am I not staying up to date enough? Am I not doing enough? And that's why we stay so focused on the ROIs. That's kind of my benchmark. That's kind of my validator of, okay, yes, we did. Stop worrying, you know? And I think that's, you know, at the end of the day, being worried and being concerned about success for my clients is what has made us successful. Really growing this business out of necessity put me on the ground level with these business owners to really give them what it is that they needed to make money, because if they made money, I could stay around. And it just kind of evolved over time to this nice little nucleus of, you know, packages that we can offer for people that are, you know, they work, you know, because we kind of, you know, data is great, but I take the real world consumer into mind. We're all consumers. So, you know, I really take that perspective as we do our marketing, that there's much more of a human element to it than anything. And data kind of backs it up, but, you know, people are going to spend money, and that's what I'm trying to kind of play with. So that's the biggest challenge is, you know, getting people leads to pay for the services and doing it every single month for years and years and years without losing it.
Yeah. And that's interesting what you said about, you know, you have like that fear in the back of your mind that, you know, am I staying up to date enough? Am I doing enough? And then, I think that's such a great motivator, you know, when you care that much that you're constantly, you know, keeping like your hand on the pulse, like making sure that you are doing enough. And like you said, checking it against the data to make sure that you are delivering. I think that is, you know, a really effective way to be ensuring that you are delivering the best results possible.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that's the thing is that we joke about all the time. It's like, I'm thinking about my clients more than they're thinking about me. I can guarantee. And, you know, when it's good, it's good. When it's bad. And, you know, the bad is where you're challenged to write it, you know? I mean, there's I just believe that in every sense of the world, that there's always a right way to do something. There's always a way to solve a problem. You know, every problem should have a solution to it. And so, you know, that's me down that path of, okay, why isn't this working? What else can we do? Do we scrap it? Try something new? And just keeping the client communicated through that whole process and bringing them in on the conversation. Sometimes you find little nuggets of like, oh, I didn't even know that you did that. So let me go see what I can put together. And then boom, you just, you know, I remember one time we had a client that it's one of our bigger clients, simply put a space in between one of their keywords, like unlocked everything. I mean, it's the best performing campaign I've ever ran ever. And it's been like 2 years of just consistent growth for this client.
That's cool.
I put a space between a keyword. It was just wild. Weird things like that happen all the time. And, you know, it just takes that level of care. I mean, again, that's the one thing I always do for an agency person is there's so many people that can talk and talk and talk, but you got to care. You really do have to be yourself and understand what it's like for a business owner to shell out thousands of dollars and, you know, be accountable to it. You know, if you really want to be great, focus on being accountable to the money that's being spent for you and justify it by making people money, not by presenting data points, because people like me will look at it and go, well, I'll just do this because I'll make more money doing it. I don't care about traffic. You know, I don't care about that.
Yeah.
You know, small business owners need money at the end of the day.
Yeah. That's why they're hiring you for your services.
Yeah.
So we're getting ready to wrap up here shortly, but do you have any, you know, final words or thoughts that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Yeah, I think it's just, you know, I keep my ear on the ground, and I really try to not only find people and talk to them and really engage with the community, but also, you know, in the school front too. And just, I'm trying to let people know kind of where I was at when I came out, my education levels. And I get asked all the time of like, oh, what should I learn? What should I do? And it's like, skills, have skills. I mean, people like in my position, you know, all we're looking for is people who can wear a couple different hats. Can you do a little design with a little bit of code? Can you write well? Can you use software? Can you learn? I think that ability to learn and challenge yourself and admit that you're wrong and that you need to change and go learn something new is the most important factor. I think a lot of times people get stuck and they're like, it's my way and I don't need to explain why, because it is what it is. And it's like, me, for instance, all I care about is the hows and the whys and the, you know, give me the details, because I'm just nerdy about it, because I go back and then I look it up and I test things out for myself too. And it just kind of furthers that real world aspect of, you know, marketing versus everything that you read. I mean, you type in how to run X campaign and it's just flooded with articles of just, you know, things that are for the person. It's not really truly the most valuable info, because if it was, you talk to someone like me and I would tell you just verbatim what to do start to finish and you get the results, right? But
yeah,
you know, I think that's the key, is just, you know, be accountable to yourself. And if you're charging clients and doing that, you know, they deserve the best. I truly believe that. And, you know, I just hope that everybody kind of takes that, because I have a lot of instances where we get clients and you can just immediately tell they were taken advantage of because they don't understand. It's like getting a bill from a lawyer. I don't know what any of this means, but I guess that's the cost. And, you know, I just hope that that doesn't happen, because, you know, a lot of times these guys are just struggling to make ends meet and do things. And all they need is just help from everybody. So
yeah,
that's kind of my goal.
Yeah. Yeah. I love your work ethic, and I love that you have, you know, your clients' best intentions at heart. I think, you know, it's so important to just have, you know, honesty at the forefront of everything that you do, and offer a really, you know, quality service as well. So yeah, that's really, really cool and inspiring to hear.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it.
Yeah. So, like I mentioned, we're getting ready to wrap up here, unfortunately, but last but not least, we have the Fast Five, which are 5 rapid fire questions. So what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
I wish I could say it was the, you know, the Guerrilla Marketing book by, I think it's Dan Levinson. that was obviously like the first marketing book I read, but I'm just not a big, I read all day long. So I'm not a big like book reader, in that I like to read for a purpose. So otherwise I'll just, you know, stories are fine. It's just a weird thing for me. It's like, if I'm going to read something, I want it to further something I'm trying to do, like a marketing book or this or that or that. But
yeah,
I just don't read books that much.
It's not a big reader. It's all good.
That's all I do at my job, is like, I'm just reading all day long and researching. So
yeah. Yeah. Perfect. Well, and then, so what does your morning routine look like?
Right now with a newborn, there is no but typically, you know, I'm up at 5-6, get up, do my emails, and just kind of get to it, quite frankly. Nice part about working from home, have an office, kind of make that decision which one I'm going to. And then to be as honest as I can, a lot of my day is dictated by my kids. So you kind of have your plan, and then you got the emails and the fires and, you know,
yep,
all those kind of things. But you know, luckily I have a great team and people who kind of put my task list together and keep everything organized, from the ideas down all the way into operations. So
very cool. And then, is there a CEO that you follow or study?
No, not really, to be honest with you. I would say that there's people that really inspire me. To say I study them, no, but there's people that have really, you know, and I think it'd probably be one that, you know, is odd for most people, but like Mike Rowe, the Dirty Jobs guy.
Okay.
I kind of joke that I'm the blue collar marketer of Oregon. For some reason, that just always lended myself to those types of people that are, you know, doing the jobs that just nobody wants to do. You know, they usually have terrible websites, no processes, no nothing, but mom and pop shops doing really well. And for some reason, we've just all gravitated towards ourselves and, you know, listening to him and just what he's trying to do with kids and, you know, get people to understand that, yeah, you can go to college, but you can also have a great career doing all this other stuff. And, you know, really just being at the forefront of that. And, you know, that's why I joined the board of directors for, you know, marketing and CTE programs, is that, you know, not a lot of people want to do that stuff. Some people want to go do what I do. Some people want to go do this, but everybody should have the option to kind of live a great life. And I think that's what he's trying to promote. And it's certainly what I'm trying to promote too. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool. That's really interesting. And then I know this is a hard one. There's so many, but what is your favorite online tool?
Outside of just email. Oh man, my favorite online tool right now. I mean, lie if I said it was like analytics and stuff, because I think the dashboard is terrible. Probably my call monitoring software. I use a call monitoring software. It's called WhatConverts. And man, it gives me every phone call, every form, every lead. It gives me first click attributions. It gives me ROIs, like everything for all my clients under one umbrella. So like,
that's really cool.
Like anytime client calls and like, how are my leads looking, or how's this looking, or who was that? I can just within probably 5 seconds have it pulled up. I could tell you exactly who it was, the number, where they came from, how much the keyword cost. And that's kind of like our final validator of stuff, is we put it all in there. So right now that's my favorite tool.
Very cool. And then last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think really understanding what the difference between what clients want and what clients need. Because I think when I first got started, like most agencies, I'm sure, is you're just doing whatever they want. You know, you want a website, I'll do it for whatever. You want this, I'll do it for whatever. But then as you kind of grow and you mature, you start looking at it like more through, yeah, they know what they need and what they want, kind of. But once you start asking the right questions and you start really digging into the issues and you know, get really specific into to what it is that they're kind of encountering, it's usually way different. Like yeah. I can tell you right now, like leads isn't even the thing that I'm most focused on. Right now it's pricing, it's margins, it's cost of goods, it's all the financial stuff, because nobody I've talked to in the last 2 years has ever actually spent time combing those to really see. Because if your costs are going up 10, 5, 8, 7, however much percent, you haven't increased your prices at all, and you haven't even, you know, looked at, you know, your distribution, your shipping, your any piece of your business, you might think you're doing great, but you're actually burying yourself. So I could actually come in and double your leads, but I would probably cripple your business, because you're actually operating at a loss, and most people have not even noticed. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what it took a long time for me to get to that viewpoint. And I went through 8 months of, you know, business consulting, financial training, like really re-educating myself. And now that's kind of, you know, where we're at now, is I kind of bridge in, you know, that whole part of the business plus the marketing. And that's why we kind of say like, we're a marketing department, because you know, you got to keep that stuff good if you want to grow your business. Moreover, you know, what happens if I give you twice the leads? Do you have the wherewithal to produce them? Do you have the intake? Do you have the sales team, the service reps, the managers, you know? And people don't like to think through the critical, minute little details or the little things. They just are, you know, a lot of cases like, oh, we just need more business. How much? What's your goal? How much more revenue you want to do? Like, let's work backwards, right? And that paints the whole picture. So I wish I knew that at the beginning, but I think not knowing it really educated me, because that hunger and that fight to define value and to really prove it through my work ethic and what the services that we provide, you know, that's what really led us here, was we're just constantly, you know, looking for it. And what's the kind of magic sauce, if you will, that produces the results that keep us around.
Yeah. Oh, that's so interesting. Yeah. I feel like a lot of agencies, you know, they their goal is to drive the leads, but then oftentimes there's that missing link, you know, where the small business owner at the end, maybe they, you know, struggle with sales and actually like closing the deal, or like you said, you know, maybe their numbers need to be evaluated. So that's really cool to see that, you know, you are, you know, really like full service and you're helping them ensure that they're going to be profitable at the end of the day.
Responding. I can't tell you how many clients I've had. They're like, oh, I haven't responded to my leads in 2 weeks. And I'm just like apoplectic about it. I'm like, what are you doing? We work so hard.
Yes.
You know, excuse. And so it's like, no, we're and this, like, we have to figure out how to make this easier. We got to speed up your times or get you another person or whatever, because like that's ridiculous. But it happens all the time. Time just flies by. So yeah, I mean, it's, you know, not a lot of people want to do this. I'll be honest. I mean, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of communication, dealing with the client firsthand, dealing with a bunch of stuff. But I mean, I think that's why we enjoy the challenge, is that, in my opinion, it's what people truly deserve and what defines true value, is the whole approach, not just, you know, this leads here, you know, and it's just a money game, but the thoughtful strategy from the very ground up, you know, digitally in the real world. I mean, that's, to me, how you really make an impact.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Nico. It was a real pleasure to have you on the show, and I really enjoyed chatting with you.
Oh, you too. Thank you so much. It was my pleasure.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.